So Travis, we talk in the book about decision-making. We also talk about transparency. Maybe you could speak a little bit about why transparency is so important for effective decision-making in an organization.
Yeah, I really like the quote that we started the chapter off with from Keith Raboy, which says, if you want people to make the same decisions that you would make, but in a more scalable way, they need to have the same information that you have, right? So there's so many times when leaders are asking the question, why isn't somebody else making that same decision? And 9 times out of 10, it's because they don't have the same data that you have, right? The backstory or what's going on. And so the more transparent that we can make the data and more accessible without overwhelming people, the more we can up-level decision-making in the organization, as well as building and enabling trust. And so, Susan, moving it to you, where can organizations start making change in how they approach transparency when they want to lead together?
I think that you had a really nice lead in there around decision making. I think that for me, the first thing that an organization can do, because I recognize that opening up the books or any of these other things require also like a level of context. So it's all well and good to open the books for everybody to see, but people don't have a basic level of like financial literacy to be able to read a P&L. Well, what's it for? But I think that on an area that I think is super important and a really great place to start is being transparent about who makes what decisions and how those decisions are made. And I think that if we get that and we're able to be clear about that, then everything can flow from that. And, you know, as I was saying, Brent, about it can engender a tremendous amount of fear for leaders, especially traditional leaders, with this invitation to make everything transparent. What do you think those challenges are, and are they real, or are they just vestiges of the old system?
I think most of us will have some kind of example in our past where we shared something and it came back to bite us. And so, you know, the fear is an honest one. It comes from an honest place. And it often also gets overplayed in organizations. And so there certainly are some places where confidential information needs to be protected. And so it could be information that a client has shared with us under a non-disclosure agreement, and it has to be limited to a certain number of people. That's a contractual obligation, or personal information that really doesn't need to be, there's no benefit to sharing that across the organization. It really should be kept to just those roles that need that information to be able to do to fulfill their accountabilities. And there are a number of reasons why sometimes we keep things confidential when in fact being transparent could be helpful. And so one of those reasons that I often hear is that I don't know that people could handle the truth. Going back to that famous movie line, you can't handle the truth. And so we often don't give our colleagues enough credit, or I don't want to distract people. You know, providing too much information is just going to be distracting. And fair enough, there is some balance. If we just throw everything out there, then it will be very hard for anybody to see the forest for the trees, as the saying goes. However, the tendency is that because we have these fears, we keep things more confidential than we need to. And so one of the sayings that we have in the book is, you know, when in doubt, share it out. So rather than the default tends to be when in doubt, keep it confidential, play it safe. And maybe the last thing to add in is that, you know, there's the possibility for some mistakes to be made along the way. And to just watch for that that sense of fear coming back up again and wanting to close the doors rather than just dealing with that particular situation as a learning opportunity, so that we can, you know, correct and move forward rather than, you know, kind of locking the doors to all information. So maybe I'll throw it over to you, Travis, then to talk about, so what are some of the tools if an organization, you know, acknowledges that there's some fear, but says, hey, we want to push through it anyway, we want to be more transparent than we've been in the past. What are some ways that organizations can do that?
I mean, there's so many tools. I think a lot of people are getting much more familiar with them in these current times. And whether you're using Google Drive or Google Docs or Box to save and share files, or even Microsoft 360, or project management and task management tools like Trello, Asana, or Monday.com, or communication tools like Slack or Microsoft Teams. But the one I wanted to highlight that maybe not on as many people's radar is tools around creating transparency around the decision-making process, to point out to Susan's idea that decision-making and how decisions get made are really useful. And people don't realize how useful it can be to see what you were thinking yourself. Because even if you're just working alone, you're still collaborating with three people: your current self, your past self, and your future self. And so knowing that you're going to have that many people involved, and then multiply that by the number of people in the decision, checking out something like Lumio.org or CloverPop for decision making can be really useful. And both of those tools encourage you to follow some sort of useful decision making flow. And even thinking about that process tends to increase the quality of the decisions. So if you try something like that, definitely try it out with decisions that matter and that are going to be useful to revisit as a trial run, but can be huge value over time.